You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, which guarantees to be a barn burner, as we have three bona fide all-stars joining us on the program this evening. Sam Dixon, attorney and noted orator. Jared Taylor of American Renaissance and Richard Spencer of the National Policy Institute, all coming up before this show is done. And they're going to be talking about a variety of topics. It's certainly going to be a blockbuster. Welcome to tonight's program. It is Saturday evening, March the 7th. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander in the studio with me tonight. An exhausting day for me. I was out for the first 4 hours of today playing in what was 9 inches of snow here in the Memphis area that came down on us a couple of days ago. My daughter and I, we played and played until we couldn't play no more. And though I'm only 35, I was reminded that I'm not a teenager anymore, out there sledding and building snowmen and snowball fights and a lot of fun, but the knees, Keith, I'm not in the shape that I used to be.
Well, time marches on, my friend. You're going to find out that the ravages of time affect even James Edwards.
It waits for no man, but we had a great time, and family is what it's all about. And it's for the love of our family that we come together to bring you this show each and every Saturday evening here on the Liberty News Radio Network as we broadcast from our flagship station here in Memphis, Tennessee, this evening, going out around the world on the internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And don't forget to join us in the online chat and virtual fan party at cfcc.org, hosted by our good friends in the Council of Conservative Citizens. We've got a lot to cover this first hour because we are very heavy on guests tonight. And so we want to cover as much ground as we can, Keith, in a short amount of time as possible. Now, we really like to give a detailed treatment to any issue or topic that we bring to our audience here on the radio airwaves. Sometimes we spend an hour on a topic or two in any given program, but tonight
ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, it's gonna be rapid fire, or as rapid as we can make it. So I couldn't help but notice, you know, this year's offering from Hollywood for Valentine's Day, which was just a couple of weeks ago, was 50 Shades of Grey. And I think everybody knows what that movie is all about. We're not going to spend time that we don't have reminding you. If you don't know, you can check it out on the internet. 50 Shades of Grey, the big movie released for Valentine's Day from Hollywood. And every church in America, it seems, Keith, came out and denounced this movie. And that's cool. I understand that. No problem with that at all. They all denounced the liberalism of Hollywood. All of these Christian churches, they, you know, Hollywood's the enemy. Liberalism is the enemy. That's true, but at the same time, that's also like taking an aspirin when you have stage 4 cancer and you're trying to battle the fever that the cancer has spawned, and you're taking an aspirin to treat.
On the other hand, they're all in the sack, in bed with the civil rights movement. They think that Martin Luther King was a saint. They think that Selma is the best movie ever made, and they have nothing negative to say about the genesis of the disease of liberalism in modern America.
Well, let's just cut to the chase on this one because, again, time is short. They attack Hollywood. They attack the liberal media. What is the 800-pound gorilla in the room that they did not mention while going after those who produce 50 Shades of Grey?
The Muslims, right? No, the Sons of Israel, as usual. You know, they're the source. In fact, I went by this week and visited the grave of Lloyd Benford, who was the head of the Better Movies Review Board in Memphis from 1926 until 1956, the day of his death. And according to liberal orthodoxy, he was one of the terrible bogeymen of all times. And they, if you look at his Wikipedia entry, you'll see comments about racial comments he made, which were typical and quite frankly rather mild for the time when he made them. And that's what they used to excoriate him, to put the brand on him as a villain. But the truth be known, people like Lloyd Benford were the only things that kept the Hollywood sleaze machine in check, at least through, let's say, the mid to late 50s. Benford died in 1956, in August of 1956. Other men like him in other communities in Red State America, likewise met their maker around the same time, and they were never replaced. And Hollywood has been churning out more and more poison directed at white Gentiles primarily ever since. You know, I went to see a play at the Orpheum last night, which is kind of a parody or takeoff on 50 Shades of Grey. And I kid you not, I was watching simulated sex acts up around the first through the 10th row in the Orpheum. The Orpheum, the grand old theater of Memphis. I wonder what Mr. Benford would have thought about that. In fact, I guarantee he'd have closed the whole place down. And I say, God bless Mr. Benford and people like him. We certainly need them and their kind to enter our society again and bring some decency and order to things, James.
All that's true, Keith, but the bottom line is, with regards to these churches, you can go after these movies, which, listen, anything Hollywood produces is pretty much utter filth now, and that same can be said for pretty much every program on television. You can go after the liberals, you can go after Hollywood. Those are kind of innocuous, general boogeymen that you can never actually beat. It's kind of like fighting a guerrilla war. I mean, who is that enemy? No, you got to say who the enemy is, and nobody does it better than Brother Nathaniel, who was born Jewish. He is Jewish, but converted to Orthodox Christianity. And we put a blog up on thepoliticalcesspool.org a few days ago, The Jews Who Own the Media in 2015. And Brother Nathaniel, again, a Reformed Jew who embraced the Orthodox Christianity.
Reformed all the way and became a Christian.
Went all the way, and he's been one of our most colorful guests on the show. We like him a lot, and he's been on, it was Bill Roland's favorite guest, as far as I know. But, you know, this is something that was completely ignored by the churches. Yes, you can go after Hollywood, but who controls Hollywood? And it's the same people that these churches believe that you have to worship and support without any conditions.
And that cognitive
whatsoever.
Dissonance just doesn't seem to register with them. The fact that the primary drivers of liberalism are Jewish, all the names that you see on all the groups that want to take down nativity scenes, want to remove prayer from school, want to remove crosses from veteran cemeteries, are not Muslim names. Hello? They're Jewish.
And, you know, the thing is, the bottom line, if you feel as though the media promotes ideas that are healthy and wholesome, then there's no reason to change anything. But if you feel as though the media is poisoning our country with degeneracy and anti-white and anti-Christian propaganda, then maybe it's time to take a look at who is actually in control. The media doesn't produce this stuff by itself. The media is just as good as the or as bad as the people who control it. And so, you know, we agree with what Jews say in their own publications that they control the media. We've looked into it. We agree with that. But, of course, to say that in a way that
makes them responsible for the sleaze that is out there.
Well, but to say it, though, you get cursed with labels such as anti-Semite, neo-Nazi, just for saying, hey, look, we wish well to all people, but we don't believe that this is healthy for this country.
Look, we don't like liberals. And if you don't like liberals, you got to ask yourself, one, who are the liberals? And two, who are the really effective, active agents for the transmission of liberalism? And if all the footprints lead back to the Jewish camp, sorry.
Hey, listen, that's all there is to say. But these churches will take you everywhere except to the finish line. I love them. God bless them. I mean, they're my brothers and sisters in Christ, but they are about as worthless as a tits on a boar, as they say here in the South. We got to take a break.
Boar hog.
We got to go a lot faster than this, though, Keith. And we will when we come back. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Look, I think we're going great. Let's go.
Some of you might be wondering, just what is the Get Prepared Expo? The Get Prepared Expo is designed to help everyone survive tornadoes, snowstorms, ice storms, earthquakes, and God forbid, a real terrorist attack. Are you ready? Have you thought through all the scenarios? At the Get Prepared Expo, you'll meet exhibitors who will help you prepare and survive and learn what you need. Included in your all-day passes are one-hour seminars on water filtration, cooking and heating without electricity, wood, or any kind of fuel. The all-important survival garden and growing food with heirloom seeds, radiation detection and radiation survival. There are over 60 seminars at the Get Prepared Expo. Think of it as a college preparedness degree in a weekend. Get Prepared Expos are taught by preparedness leaders, authors, medical doctors, and radio personalities. Bring your questions. We have the answers. We hope to see you the last weekend in March, Lebanon, Missouri. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, folks. Okay, I want to remind you to join us if you're listening online and not one of the AM/FM affiliate stations that carries us in select markets across the country. Join us now at cfcc.org. Join your fellow fans who are tuned in to the internet simulcast from around the world, all over the place, cfcc.org, they're there now. And we're having a good time in there. And when Richard Spencer, Jared Taylor, and Sam Dixon join us later in the broadcast, they'll be taking questions from those assembled. But you've got to be in the chat room in order to participate, cfcc.org. Keith, last segment, we were talking about how these churches do everything but accurately diagnose the problem. Yes, it's great to denounce movies like 50 Shades of Grey, which I think the only, you know, feminists loved it for whatever reason. If my wife, who is a stay-at-home mother, you know, she's raising two kids in a Christian home, you know, that's the epitome of evil. But this, where the woman gets beaten, you know, they loved that for some reason. But who's to say that hypocrisy never reigned on the radical left wing?
What I'd like to see is a 50 Shades of Grey episode where this guy tries to beat Betty Friedan or something like that.
It's funny,
and she turns on him and with the wrath of Khan.
It's funny you mentioned Betty Friedan. She was in the news this week, and we'll talk about that before this segment's out. But, you know, these churches, though, you got to look to their leadership, so-called. Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, he was on the Bill O'Reilly Show, the O'Reilly Factor, a couple of days ago, and he can't – I don't think he can really believe what he's saying, but he said it anyway. He said that the United States government has been infiltrated by Muslims. Now, this is the direct this is a direct quote. Bill O'Reilly asked him, why do you think the world will not unite to stop ISIS? And Billy Graham's son said, he was a major leader in the evangelical Christian movement, said, one of the problems that we have in the West is our governments, especially in Washington, have been infiltrated by Muslims who are advising the White House, who are part of the problem, and we see this also in Western Europe. And Keith, I said to that, I mean, you know, certainly the president's a Muslim, so there's some truth there, but as far as his advisors, though, at least in this country.
Look, it's crazy. They've got the wrong group of Semites, right? It's the Jews. I mean, who could make such a comment? Look at all the top advisors, people like Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, Douglas Feith.
But there
good
is
Muslims all, right?
Well, there's no doubt that the Jewish control over you know, our government, and we always say, you know, the guy at the bagel shop around the corner, probably a pretty good guy. I mean, he's probably a liberal, but, you know, he's not actively deconstructing the country like these radical
but
Zionists.
But he's in the eight-man corner,
of power. Yeah, but he supports them. But here's the thing. There's no doubt that in order to become a major candidate, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, once you get up to the federal level, whether it's the United States Congress or Senate, but especially presidential candidates, you have to get that Sheldon Adelson money. You have to get the money from the Jewish fat
cats. And to do that, you've got to kiss the Godfather's ring.
Who own and operate and fund both sides of the coin, and there's just no doubt about it. I mean,
you're going to have to make a trip to Israel. You're going to have to smooch the Wailing Wall. You're going to have to wear the yarmulke. You're going to have to pledge your loyalty to the cause of Israel, or else the silence will be deafening when you ask them for money.
Well, and so, and because of that, we draw the conclusion that, yes, certainly there is a group of people from the Middle East who hold an extraordinary amount of control over our government, media, and academia. But in our opinion, it sure as hell isn't the Muslims, at least not to the extent that it comes for Franklin Graham to say they control our government.
Well, you know, this just shows you how lost in space the religious right is. When you get somebody like that, with that type of pulpit, with that type of influence, that can say something that stupid.
All right, well, with that being said, let's quickly go back to Hollywood. We're going to loop back for about 1 minute here. You know, the big controversy now about white people being cast as white superheroes in traditional roles that always went to white people, you know, from the comic books, or I think even Thor, or one of the Nordic gods in the last movie, Thor, was a black person. And that's the rage in Hollywood, is to cast black people in traditional white superhero roles. You know, I really wanted to see, you know, Jeremy Irons as Martin Luther King in Selma, but I didn't get that. But all of these white people are going along with this in Hollywood because they don't have a sack between their legs. Daniel Craig, who plays the current James Bond in the James Bond movies, says it would be great to have a black James Bond. I mean, my goodness, that would be just the best thing ever. And every white actor to a man has either been silent about it or voiced their support in black actors taking over white roles. One actress finally said something to the contrary. She's a bisexual Latina, Michelle Rodriguez, but she says, hey, you know, this is lazy, it's boring, these are white roles, white people should be in these roles. And she's absolutely right. She said, you know, we need to come up with our own people. These are
in our own superheroes.
With the superheroes.
Where's the Latino superhero? Where is the black superhero? I'm sure that it's occurred to some aspiring young cartoonist who is black to do that, but apparently they just can't crack the market. Why can't they crack the market? Again, takes us right back to the same footprints lead to the same camp, I'm sure.
This woman, of course, being bisexual and a woman, and a Latina no less, that's three things that she has in favor. So when she goes off the reservation a little bit with a comment like this, it doesn't cause nearly as big of a stink as it would have been if somebody like Daniel Craig, for instance, had said something to the contrary. But I'm glad she said it. And, you know, she still showed more courage than any white man in Hollywood. They should be the ones speaking out on this issue instead of letting their fighting being done by a Latina. And what I'm talking about, not just comic book people, but, you know, when you start having in major plays, as we've seen in this country, a black man in the role of Julius Caesar, that's preposterous. That's just stupid.
What do they call it, revisionist history?
I mean, well, by the, you know, I guess how much further away, how much more do we have to deteriorate and rot and become, how much more ignorant can America become before they probably believe that Julius Caesar was a black? But in any case, Keith, you've got something here, and we don't have time to really get into it full-fledged.
Let's talk about it anyway.
We'll set the table, and then we'll follow into it this next segment. Andrew Jackson, you know, this is funny, because I just sent out, I think last week, a snail mail, the Political Cesspool's quarterly fundraiser. We send out snail mail and emails and blogs all through the 4 months of the year that we're actively in fundraising mode. And by the way, folks, this month's one of them, so help us out, please, so we can see April. But I went to the post office when we were sending out preparing this mail out, and I saw a specialty stamp that commemorated the Battle of New Orleans. And, of course, that was during the War of 1812, the last war that should have legitimately been fought by the United States. We shouldn't. That was the last legitimate war. The last war that America really had a business fighting in was the War of 1812.
Because we were attacked.
And the hero of the Battle of New Orleans was, of course, Andrew Jackson. And he was a great hero all the way around. Not only was he from Tennessee and, of course, an American president, but he beat the bank and removed the Indians and protected our people from that threat. He was just an all-American hero, a real-life superhero, Andrew
Jackson. Looked
out
for the common man.
He was a common man. He was a populist. I mean, he was just an incredible American hero. And he's on the $20 bill, of course. At least he is for now, right, Keith?
Well, there's a group called Women for 20s. And on page 5A of the March 5th Commercial Appeal, our daily fish wrap here in Memphis, there's an article, Group Calls for a Woman to Replace Jackson on 20. Subtitle, His Genocide of Native Americans Cited as Reason. Now, first of all, that's an outrageous slander. He never called for the genocide of American Indians. He just wanted them to move from one place to another, like numerous white settlers did voluntarily. And they were, quite frankly, given a pretty nice piece of property over there called Oklahoma, or Indian Territory. We'll get back into the whys and wherefores of this particular movement after these words from our sponsors.
Listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
The immortal Johnny Horton. Johnny Horton with the great and unforgettable Battle of New Orleans. That's the song that commemorates the Battle of New Orleans. How about that? The hero of that
which
battle.
Which was the source of Andrew Jackson's primary fame.
That's absolutely right. And from there, he went on to achieve eternal greatness. And Andrew Jackson, of course, I'm biased because he's a Tennessean, but he is one of my favorite Americans. I mean, he's right up there. He's like, you know, 1A to people like Robert E. Lee and Nathan Bedford Forrest and Davy Crockett and people of that ilk. But Andrew Jackson's just, as I said before, an all-American. One of the few people on any American currency that's actually
admirable,
worthy of the honor. I mean, you know, let's remove Ulysses Grant, the genocide. You know, when we talk about genocide, how about Abraham Lincoln, ladies and gentlemen?
On the $5 bill.
You want to talk about real genocide? Abraham Lincoln and Ulysses S. Grant. How about that? Let's take them off. I'd be behind that movement.
Alexander Hamilton, the closet aristocrat that basically didn't want us to have, you know, the common man have a say in things. He's on the $10 bill.
Well, you got George Washington, but he's on a single. I mean, that's kind of, you know, a dishonor to the hero of the Revolution. You got Benjamin Franklin. He was pretty cool. He gets the $100. But anyway, Andrew Jackson, they're thinking about replacing him on the $20 bill because he was a racist, of course.
No, no, a genocider. Now, they said his genocide of Native American site is reason. Indians died on the Trail of Tears. I have the feeling if it's like anything else, any of these other genocides that we constantly are regaled about by the left, that the numbers are exaggerated. But he didn't want to kill all the Indians. He wanted to move the Indians, for crying out loud.
For their best interest and ours, and that was the case. But anyway, it's been determined now that he was an evil man. And so, and this is not just pie in the sky, folks. This is getting major media coverage. I mean, it's here today. This article is found in the Memphis Daily, the Commercial Appeal.
And it's an article by Abby Olheiser. Okay, name that ethnicity. Okay?
But kid, we got to work through this quick.
And
but
this is from the Washington Post. Here's
the Washington Post reprinted here in Memphis. Go through it as quickly as you can.
Okay.
And list. Pick a couple of the names there who have been.
Andrew Jackson's portrait has held its place on the $20 bill since Jackson replaced Grover Cleveland in 1928. For the organizers of Women on 20s, that's long enough. A woman's place is on the money, the Women on 20s campaign says. The new group has come up with a list of 15 women it would like to see on the $20 bill instead, including Rosa Parks, Eleanor Roosevelt, and Harriet Tubman. Now, let me give you the names of all these people.
Rosa Parks over Andrew Jackson.
Can you here it is, Clara Barton, that's all right, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, a eugenicist who basically wanted to make sure that inferior races didn't reproduce. They seem to forget that when they do her bio. Rachel Carson of Silent Spring, big environmentalist, Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, Barbara Jordan, Betty Friedan.
Betty Friedan!
Francis Perkins, the first U.S. Treasury Secretary, Eleanor Roosevelt, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Sojourner Truth. What it is, basically, it's the Lesbian Hall of Fame. They want us to have a lesbian on the $20 bill. You know, could they at least give us a heterosexual normal woman? No, they can't do that. You know, but we've got to, this tells you who's in charge of the feminist movement, and it's no surprise here. Yeah, yeah, Hillary.
She's going to get the $100 bill.
Yeah, right. Or the $3 bill like her husband Bill.
All right, so anyway, that's what's going on. White people always under attack, white heroes especially. The more you do.
White Southerners in particular.
There you go. Heterosexuals. I mean, Andrew Jackson gets a check in every box. He's heterosexual, white, Southern male.
And he actually fought duels to defend his honor and his wife's honor. You know, so what a scoundrel he is. We've got to get people out. Actual manly man.
He's buried, of course, in Nashville at a beautiful estate, the Hermitage. And the last two times I went there, let me tell you who I went with. It was me and Pat Buchanan. It was me and Pat and two other guys. We went there and toured the Hermitage. And then the last time I went there, it was me and Sam Bushman and his co-host Kirk Crosby. Now, that is privileged company to visit the grave. I remember sitting there with Pat at Andrew's grave and sitting there with Sam at Andrew's grave the last two times I went. I don't think I can ever go back. I mean, how am I going to top that with that company?
And as far as his hatred of Indians, it's kind of odd that he adopted an orphan Indian child and raised him to adulthood or to at least late teenage years before he died in some type of epidemic that swept, and he was distraught about the child's death. So
none of that matters.
Yeah, none of that. You know, don't confuse the left with the facts. They've got their own narrative, and as the Ferguson situation, Staten Island situation shows, like Trayvon Martin showed, it doesn't matter if there's a shred of truth in their narrative. Their narrative has a life of its own.
And it supersedes the truth. Now, we only have a couple of minutes left this segment. Apparently, fried chicken has now been deemed to be racist. Everything is racist now. There's no matter what you can think of, it's either one of two things. It either causes cancer or it's racist.
And basically, the lesson from all of this is if you're rich or perceived to have any money, you better keep your dadgum mouth shut because the left is waiting for you to say anything that they could possibly construe as racist so they can shake you down.
Here's the thing. At Wright State University... Wright State University, they...
An HBCU, historically black college and university.
They celebrated Black History Month, of course they did, in February. And in the dining hall, the school cafeteria, during Black History Month, they were serving fried chicken. Now, apparently, that is a racist sin. A couple of blacks saw that they had the audacity to serve fried chicken during the month of February and immediately knew how racist
it was really a little bit better than that. They had a little flyer out about their menu choices at the cafeteria at Wright State, and it says Black History Month, prominently figuring pictures of Emmett Till and Martin Luther King, and underneath it says fried chicken, mashed potatoes, collard greens, and cornbread.
Okay, but here's the thing. Do blacks eat that food or not? Do they eat it or not? I eat it. Southerners eat it. You know, here's the thing about fried chicken. It came from Scotland, where white Southerners came from. They deep fried their food in Scotland to, you know, purify it and to get the contaminants out, and they brought it down to the South. People from Northern Britain and Scotland settled the South, and when blacks came to the South, when they were brought in, they ate the same food. They like it. Did they eat it or not? I mean, the watermelon wasn't on there, so I guess they got that. I got to read this very quickly, Keith. I apologize to everyone who was hurt. To our credit, the menu was quickly removed, the school said, but the larger question remains, why was it done in the first place? We will take steps to prevent this kind of behavior from occurring in the future. And then one of the black students there said, I was really hurt, extremely hurt. Now, this is the black student who is the head of the Black Student Union. Thank God it wasn't the White Student Union, or that would be racist. For me, it was a knock in the face for African-American individuals who have fought for us. It extremely offends me because it minimizes who we are as a people. That is so absurd. Folks, that is so absurd, it's insulting.
The only thing that could be more disruptive or incendiary would be if they moved all the Kentucky Fried Chicken outlets out of the ghetto. Then you'd have real blood in the streets, right?
But, I mean, surely there have to be some blacks who feel as though this incessant whining about make-believe racism is embarrassing. Yeah, and if we find one of those, we'll let you know. But this... We got to offer free chicken dinners to black people who were offended because here's the thing, though. This wasn't just some obscure local news story that covered this. This was covered by ABC News. So how in the world was this story considered to be big enough to warrant national coverage from ABC News that a school cafeteria during the month of February served fried chicken and collard greens? That comes to be a racist. It just goes to show that everything's
just waiting.
They're
waiting to jump on any incident like a mad dog on a bloody bone that has the least whiff of racism about it or anything to do even in the most peripheral way with race. That's what this shows. In fact, they're complaining about a historically black college and university, which is now run by blacks and has been historically run by blacks for the last 100 years.
It's a black university, but they outsource the cafeteria dining services to a an outside company, and so apparently there must be a white person that works for that company. Therefore, it's racist. But chicken. I mean, this is crazy. They've got to grow up. I said when Anthony Cumia was on this show, and it got a lot of publicity. They are like, and this truly is the case of a spoiled brat. It's like an incessant, petulant child.
Raising
cane. Please be better than that. Please be better than that. You don't have to be a conservative. You don't have to fight for our interests.
Just be rational.
Just be rational. That's it. There you go, Keith. That's great. When we come back, we got Scoop Stanton.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
right, everybody. Keep in mind, we're just getting warmed up tonight. We still have Sam Dixon, Richard Spencer, Jared Taylor, and the chat room is popping. I think we've just about hit our capacity there in the chat room at about and so check it out at cfcc.org if you can get in. Anyway, they're all coming up. Those heavyweights are all still forthcoming. But I should tell you that, of course, we've still got a lot of news to cover as well. The chief, the boss went to address the employees earlier in the week when Bibi Netanyahu went to talk to his
employees at the U.S. Congress.
We'll get to that. That's coming up. I want to say hello.
And like the dog on the RCA Victor commercials, they heard their master's voice and responded appropriately.
They certainly did. I want to say hello to a couple of people, particularly in the chat room tonight. And we're just having a great time in there. First, I want to thank everyone who is in there, number one. But specifically, I want to say hello to Wilburn Sprayberry, who has written a couple of great pieces for our website in the past. And, of course, Courtney from Alabama is in there. So Scoop Stanton's in there, who's on the phone with us right now. So we've got some dignitaries in the chat room. And then yours truly is in there as well. Keith, you're scaring me with those cords. You know, once things are working.
I can't hear anything out of it.
Oh, well, because no one's talking yet.
Okay.
All right, Keith's suiting back up, everybody. We'll get it worked out. But anyway, CFCC.org. So we got Scoop Stanton here. When Scoop was on last week, he let it be known that he went and received credentials. Everything's fine. No one's talking yet, so you're not going to hear anything. Scoop went to CPAC, and he got official press credentials because we are a legitimate AM syndicated talk radio show. So, of course, he was able to get press credentials. But the left just had a fit after that, did they not, Scoop? And did you expect the reaction that we saw? One of the headlines read, Jew-hating radio show receives press credentials to CPAC. One website wrote that they had an exclusive, that they were breaking the news that we got into CPAC, and they had the exclusive because they went to our website and copy and pasted what we'd written. And then the Southern Poverty Law Center had a list of the most extremist things that occurred at CPAC, and you being there, Scoop, was number one with a bullet. It was. The white supremacist radio show. It's Jew-hating, white supremacist. I don't think they really believe that. Certainly no one who's ever tuned into this show could possibly believe that having an objective dissent about some of these issues that we cover qualifies one as a Jew-hater or a white supremacist or anything of that nature. But these were the things that were written about us as hysterically as they could be. And it all was a result of the fact that Scoop received credentials and walked around the lobby for – how long were you at CPAC, Scoop?
Well, good evening, James and the rest of the Cesspool family. Let me set the record straight for people like SPLC, Blue Green Football, Addicted Info, and other websites. Once I got to CPAC, got my press credentials, I started shouting racial and religious epithets all over the place, gave a high Hitler salute, and walked on out. No, that's not what really happened. Again, here's what happened. I rolled up. I talked to the people of the League of the South, took a terrible video, interviewed Mr. Heimbach, got a feeling what's going on. I went into the Gaylord National Convention Center, walked up to the desk, talked to a very nice gentleman, very nice lady, told them who I was, gave them an actual business card. They asked, do you have a website? Yes. Went to thepoliticalcesspool.org. They asked, where you at, sir? I said, look under crew, the tab for crew, scroll down, see the handsome gentleman staying in a graveyard. That's me. He gave me press credentials, and off I went. I was walking around trying to get something interesting, something for broadcast, and there really is much nothing. Now, this racist had the audacity to go up to none other than David Webb from SiriusXM. Now, and I asked him about coming on, appearing in the program. Yep, that's right. The political cesspool asked a black man to appear on the radio show. SPLC will probably have in their head to say, oh, we're going to sit there and drop, call him N-words and so on and so forth. But then I went back outside to hang out with the League of the South because they're more my people, because there's really nothing going on into at CPAC. Oh, another thing I forgot to mention, I walked up to members of the Prince George's County Police Department, all of whom are black. And me being a so-called racist started calling them all sorts of racial epithets and went on my way. no, that's not what happened. I asked them, what's going on? Everything quiet? Anything going on? And they said no. But there it was a man who went to CPAC who was, I'd say, trying to fan the racial flames. But guess what? He was black, and it wasn't David Webb. And back outside, I was hanging out with the League of the South, Mr. Heimbach, somebody from CFCC, and there are people of all different opinions. Like, you know, you guys are great, you guys are not so great. Vice Magazine, which is supposed to be very right-brained, they're on HBO, they do some good work, they did a story on us, and they got it wrong. They made it look like the League of the South was yelling at everybody that came up to the came up to them, and they're supposed to be act like a bunch of crazy rednecks on methamphetamines, but that's just not the case. But as usual, everybody got it wrong. Nobody came to the source. Nobody came to me, asked, you know, what's going on. Those who did go ask what was going on and what I was about, I told them what the political social was about. I said, we're going on live radio Saturday night. Here's the business card. Please please listen to us. And that's what really happened.
Well, it was a great case study in, once again, showcasing the hysterics of the left, because we saw the coverage, and it just goes to show that they hang on every word we say. I mean, we know that we're being monitored by Congress, we're being denounced by Congress. We have, since our very inception, been receiving national news coverage at a very regular and steady basis. But we had you on, what, for 8 minutes last week, Scoop, where you talked about CPAC, and they picked up on it to the extent that the Southern Poverty Law Center said it just goes to show that CPAC is an extremist and racist event, because they gave press credentials to a legitimate AM radio show. And
well, so, I'm waiting for the follow-up story that shows that we're really in control of CPAC. We're the political cesspool is actually the hidden hand behind CPAC.
Well,
here's something else. And Fat Albert from One People's Project, he was there. Now, did he get credentials or not? I don't know. But I just saw him walking around being, you know, fat and stupid. If he was skinny, he'd be skinny and stupid. But, you know, Fat Albert was there. I'm sure he was trying to dig up some dirt. But, you know, being that, you know, we saw the crowd that was there from watching the CPAC convention on C-SPAN, you know, he probably got a whole bunch of nothing.
Well, I was so moved by the coverage that Scoop's 10-minute raid into CPAC, and he stayed there longer. I mean, he had the all access.
But he was bored.
Yes, but he was bored. But, you know, I put a little post up in honor of Scoop. You know, Scoop came to us as a regular listener a few years ago. Goodness, about 9 years ago now. Scoop was stationed in Rota, Spain. And Rota, Spain is so far to the south of Spain, you could literally swim the Strait of Gibraltar and get into Africa. But he was calling in, and then we just adopted him as our regular correspondent. And since then, he's been on every week with us. And there's this picture on the website that you've just got to see. I wrote a little blurb about Scoop, the many adventures of a TPC correspondent. So he was Chuck E. Cheese last week. You know, we have continuing coverage on Chuck E. Cheese. And then we got, of course, his episode at CPAC, but there's this picture I've got of Scoop's business card for the political cesspool in a Chuck E. Cheese token cup, and you just got to see that. I think that picture's worth 1,000 words, and then below that, we've got these effeminate, girly men,
metrosexuals
clamoring for a selfie with Rick Santorum. I mean, if I ran into guys like that, I'd be running outside to join the protesters as well. Scoop did it, got another round of publicity for the show in doing so, and it really wasn't even a publicity stunt. I mean, we don't do that. We don't do stunts to get publicity. We just do good work for our people, and whatever happens, happens. But he was there to, you know, just cover the event for the political cesspool. He is our Washington, D.C. correspondent. CPAC took place in the D.C. area. Scoop went, got credentials, and told us all about it last week. But it just goes to show it takes a team to bring our show to you each and every week, and we'll feel as though we have the best in the business. None of us trained, none of us professionals, but together we have been very much groundbreaking in our approach, and for 10-plus years now, we've been doing the job that all Americans refuse to do. And it's an honor to do it, folks. It really is. And Scoop, I salute you, my brother, for going in there. And 10 minutes at CPAC turned into tens of thousands of dollars worth of
a true tempest in a teapot.
Yeah, well, it certainly was. And do you have a final word about that, Scoop, before we run out of time and you rejoin the throngs in the chat room?
Yes, real quick, I went back to Chuck E. Cheese. I told you about my wonderful adventure. And and guess what? The tables were dirty. The bathroom was a mess. One of the toilets wasn't working. And it was just total chaos. And it's like the manager was the slot manager of the movie Casino. He was he's just too stupid to...
Well, we seem to have lost Peter Scoop Stanton, at least for the time being, folks. But believe me, he's here in spirit. We'll fill you in on what he said when we find out ourselves.
All right, I went back to Chuck E. Cheese, and again, it was very disappointing. Again, the restaurant was dirty. The bathrooms were a mess. One of the toilets didn't work. Another toilet had some it was already occupied with stuff. I'll just leave it at that.
And we catch your drift.
And it was just another terrible. And I told the guy, I said, "Here's my business card. Your restaurant gave us hundreds of hours of good radio, and it's like he didn't care about cleaning."
We're gonna take a break. We gotta take a break, Scoop. Out of time. We'll be back with more Chuck E. Cheese next week.